Colin Fitz, you start see for me or Clita Punzaba Campus, Merhba Semiata Campus, u miha fl studio, ħanaqleb l-Inglis għaliex hija Taljana tgħix Malta, kont intervistajta fis-sensiela minajnejn barranin, taħdem anka hawnhekk l-Università ta' Malta, però issa għandha aktar xtajdinna u għandha ħajja interessanti ħafna, jiġifieri ħanitkellmu dwar affarijiet oħrajn mhux dak li tkellimna dwaru fis-sensiela minajnejn barranin waqt Colin Fitz jistaqsijiet. Nirreferi għal Viviana Premazzi. Viviana, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm trying to remember how we say welcome in Italian. Benvenuta.
Benvenuta
nel programma della radio. How are you, Viviana?
I'm fine. I'm great. Thank you.
Since the last time we spoke about a year ago, we're recording in January 2025.
Okay.
For people who are listening maybe in the archives from our website, programs you can hear as a podcast. You've been very busy. You've been to various countries around the world on a cruise ship.
I was.
You've done lots of exciting things. You're back in Malta now, and you're part of this expat group that organizes outreaches and interesting activities and brings Maltese people and international people together, and international people together as well, not just with the Maltese. I mean, so many interesting things to talk about, but let's just remind our listeners about who you are and how long you've been in Malta.
Perfect. So, yeah, Viviana Premazzi is my name. I'm Italian, and I moved to Malta in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So this is almost like my more than seven years now in Malta.
Years.
Yeah. And I teach at the university, like building bridges, like developing skills to work with people from different cultures, because this is my background. So I work as an intercultural trainer. And I also created here my company. It's called Global Mindset Development. So we help companies, people to develop skills to be able to work in multicultural teams or travel and work with people from different countries.
Yes. So you have just been on a cruise. Let's go straight to the point, which I thought was really interesting because I was following you on Instagram and you're posting these wonderful pictures from different countries and different ports and meeting different people. It was a pleasant, but it wasn't a pleasure cruise. So describe your 6-month adventure.
Absolutely. So it is a cruise. It's called Semester at Sea. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a ship transformed. It's called the Floating Campus because it's a ship that transforms university campus, especially, let's say, U.S. university campus, where we had around like 500 students on a ship taking classes and exams. And so what is happening on a ship is like there is a university and students have their classes and then they do their exams. But there are also all these kind of social activities that you can find in a campus. So we have the Sea Olympics. We have some like community activities while like crossing the equator. And then and the ship traveled from Germany till Thailand, like to Thailand. And we stop in different countries. So it was like the Netherlands, Portugal, Morocco, Ghana, South Africa. And then we went on the other side, like Mauritius, India, Vietnam, Hong Kong, and Thailand.
All in 1 6-month
yes,
period?
Yes, it was like almost four months. Like
four months.
We left in September, like beginning of September. It's one semester, like beginning of September. And then we disembarked in like 22nd of December in Bangkok.
And did you sign up as a student?
No, I was one of the professors on the ship.
Of course. Yes, you were teaching. Yes.
I was teaching intercultural communication.
Sorry, because you look so young.
Thank you. You're too kind.
I just keep thinking of you as you know, somebody who's an eternal student.
Oh, that's also an interesting point because like on the ship, there are the students, there are the professors, there are the staff, so like counselors or residential directors. But then there are also what are called the lifelong learners.
Mm.
They're actually adults. They decided to go on this amazing like cruise ship, but then taking also some like course and classes. And of course, they don't have the stress of the exam.
Yeah.
So it's actually for them like the best experience ever.
Of course. So you said this cruise ship is part of an American university?
Yeah, it's actually an organization that organized it. It's called Institute for Shipboard Education. And then the program is accredited by the university, is Colorado State University.
Okay.
So it's like an Erasmus for the Europeans. So the students get recognized up to four classes and like courses that they're taking on the ship from their like university where they are like where they are from, and so it can be University of Oklahoma, University of San Diego, or it can be also we had also students from Europe, so it can be someone from the Netherlands or from Sweden.
Indeed, do you think somebody from the University of Malta could do a course or a semester at sea like
absolutely.
This
is what I'm trying to do because like there were very few Europeans, and that's kind of a pity because it's a great experience and can be even more if there is even more diversity on the ship itself, where now the 80% are more from the US. And I have actually someone like texting me when I was on the ship from the University of Malta, like students or like parents of students like interested in like getting to know more and how their students can participate.
How did you hear about it?
In Malta, that's absolutely funny, because in spring 2022, so this time we circumnavigate Africa, but in spring 2022, also because it was before the war, they actually crossed the Mediterranean. So one of the stops was Malta.
Oh,
and what is happening when the ships stop in some places, the classes on the ship, like the courses on the ship, they have what it's called a field class. So it can be that they go out and they have kind of a one day in like learning experience in the country. And Malta was chosen by the intercultural communication course, and so someone in Malta asked me to do for the ship this field class in intercultural communication. So this is how I got to know like the professor who back then was doing intercultural communication, and the faculty changed every semester, and this professor were like, I think you should apply for one of our future, like, voyage. So I applied and I was selected, and then...
But you do one semester as well. I mean, will you be doing more in the future? Are you part of the team now? How does it work?
No, like, you do one semester, and then you kind of process your... No, just kidding. it's a lot, so you can apply again. There are people that did, like, 4 voyages, 5 voyages, 3 voyages. Of course, they are constantly recruiting, so this is kind of an advertisement also for, like, professors, even if... Maybe now, like they can have non-US passport holders, but it's becoming a little bit more complicated. So I hope I will not be the last one non-US passport holders. But yeah, you can do it more time, and you can also be involved in other way. Like in any case, we are alumni, even if we were not students. But even the professors, they are kind of part of this network of alumni of semester at sea.
So even maybe lecturers here at the university, professors, they can apply to be part of the semester at sea. And so what do you Google? How do you find out about how to get involved?
Yeah, it's like semesteratsea.org.
That's all, semesteratsea.org.
Yeah, and then they're on all the social media. And then if people know me, probably they will find also like pictures and tag. But yes, it's very easy. Indeed. And the program, they've been doing the program till the 60s. So it's not something new.
Oh, since
it's something
the
60s. That's been around for many years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when we're talking, we won't go into details, but is it something that is hugely expensive, or can it be done reasonably if you do a bit of saving?
Yeah, it is expensive. Like, it is an expensive program, especially for people not used to U.S. tuition. But the good news is there are more scholarships for students and also other way to, like work on the ship. Like, we have also like people working at the university, and so in this way is kind of doing an internship and have some money that you are making on the ship, and then help you pay like the tuition or and at the same time, if you think about, then for some people, like the cost, if you're going to a private university and you consider the tuition fee plus like living on a cruise for 4 months and then like your room and your food, for some people, it's also not that expensive, like if they are used to a different, like higher tuition. But there are ways, like there are scholarships. And one of my, like, again, idea was a suggestion to help more European students. You can also maybe look at EU funds. Like, we know there are many funds available for like mobility and study abroad. So that could also be something that students can look.
Absolutely. Now, before we go into more detail about which countries you visited and the exciting things you participated in and the interesting people you met, when you're on this cruise, do you also get, you know, you think of a cruise liner and the cruise, you get to do gambling and you have 24-hour restaurants open and you eat as much as you want. I don't think it's that kind of cruise.
No. No, it's not that kind of cruise. It was like, we had restaurants, we have like 2 restaurants like for like buffet, and that was included, and then there was like the pool bar. And then there was also, that's interesting, there was like kind of a bar or research space only for faculty or student and for like academic and stuff. So where students actually couldn't go. And that was interesting because then there is like this mysterious air, like aura around. So students were like, but do you have alcohol for free or what's happening there? And so we try to also keep the mystery, but then also was just a place also for us to hang out with like colleagues and then became friends. Yeah.
So you flew to Germany. And you see the ship, you got there and you climb on board and what happens?
And the ship was like in my view was beautiful because it was like it's a German ship also with like Liberty like arts inside. So like you have like Monet, you have all this like
lots of
arts also on the ship. But then of course that this was the first day, but then it was transformed in a university campus. So maybe the Monet was like covered with something more like semester at sea and linked to the university campus life. Mm-hmm. And so even a space that maybe before was the space for, I don't know, maybe gambling, it became the library. Ah. And so we saw all this transformation because...
So it is an actual cruise ship that's used for this...
In the summer, it's an actual cruise ship. And then for like the fall semester and the spring semester, is kind of transformed as a university campus. Mm. And this happened every year. So that was also very interesting for us to see.
Yeah.
And then, so the places are transformed. So you have the library, you have the computer where you can check. Another very interesting aspect is actually internet on the ship. It was very limited. We have 100 megabyte per day.
That's not much, exactly.
That's right. So all my posts actually were doing in port because I didn't have any internet on the ship. Like it was very, very limited. And then we had WhatsApp, but mainly for like text. Like you cannot download any picture. You cannot like download any voice message. So it was also very like a real detox.
Okay.
But that the idea is also like to help the students really connect on the ship and not be distracted from what is happening outside. Of course, you can buy more gigabyte, but then it was also interesting. Like I didn't buy any, and also others, like most of the students, they didn't.
You can do without.
Yeah.
So you leave German ports?
Yes. We left Germany. And so at that time, there was only like the staff and the academics, so staff and faculty. And then in the Netherlands, is where we met the students. And so the students embarked in the Netherlands. That was the first port for them. And so there was all these parents waving at them.
Okay.
Like it was this, like goodbye for them for 4 months.
And the academics, your colleagues?
Yes.
Were mostly American or?
Mostly Americans, yeah.
Okay.
And then there was one colleague from Germany, but living in Australia, and one Canadian and like Chinese.
Now, this is the kind of question I would ask in the other series I do, Malta Through Internationalize, and you know, old habits die hard. But I have to ask you, when you tell them you're Italian, but I'm based in Malta, would the most common question be what's or where is Malta, or where did your colleagues, were they aware about Malta?
So some of them were aware of Malta. Some probably they didn't ask, like they checked by themselves.
Okay,
like, they didn't ask the question. But I think I mentioned Malta so many times and you know my love for Malta. So I think by the end, everyone's knew about like Malta
So hopefully they'll visit and relax.
I think I had this question, especially from the students, where they thought that like Malta was part of Italy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also because like I think it's like it's also very complicated, the European geography and all the countries in Europe, like with for students.
Yeah, America, especially the American students, then the stereotype is that American students are not very knowledgeable about European geography.
But I think also they have like 50 states.
Yeah.
And if we ask any European students about like the states or countries in Africa, we will get the same probably confusion.
Yes, so or even about America.
Or even about America.
Yes,
so
yes.
I think, we have this stereotype, but maybe...
But it works both ways.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you live in a country as big as America with all so many complications in it, and if you want to go skiing, you stay in America, but go to another state. Why should you learn, you know, about unless you're interested?
Yeah.
So
or you know, Game of Thrones and something that was shoot in Malta, so you have some passion that's linked to Malta, like the movies.
Yes. Maybe one or two people would be aware of that. Okay. But it's true. A lot of people around the world think Malta Malta's maybe part of Spain because Malta, yeah. Mallorca, whatever, or part of Italy. Yeah. Yes, close to Italy. They've, obviously, they and why should they? They wouldn't know that Malta's independent and its own country and everything. The average person, I mean. Okay, so and you stopped in Holland.
We stopped in Holland.
And you picked up all the students.
Yeah, exactly. And then we really started from there. And so we went to Portugal as a first stop. Okay.
And this was Portugal the first place where, you know, interesting things started happening?
Yeah, especially because, like, Portugal was also where we had, like, some of us were selected for a course on dialogue facilitation.
Oh.
And, yeah, so we had a group of, like, 20 of us, and I was the coordinator of, like, the group of dialogue, because it was very close also to intercultural communication and intercultural management.
What does it mean? What does dialogue facilitation?
Yeah, exactly.
Dialogue facilitation.
So we had this 3 days course where we developed some like soft skills of like listening and talk and how to also ask questions to really be able to build a dialogue and not just maybe make arguments or like reply aggressive. Also try to really develop like empathy and we did. Thanks to like an organization that was organizing this, that was called Solia. They work a lot on the dialogue in the Middle East because, of course, like the ship is is traveling the world. Is also like there's no internet, but things are happening in the world. Mm-hmm. They can reflect on the ship. And so, when of course, like the 7th of October would have happened when we were on the ship, and on the ship there were of course Jewish people and there was someone from the Palestine. So the idea was also how we can prepare a group of people to be able to handle this difficult conversation if there would be a need on the ship. When we were on the ship, the US elections also happened, and you have more than 500 people. You cannot believe that everyone will vote for the same candidate.
The last few elections have been very divided.
Yeah, exactly. Polarized. Like, we know we live in this war. So the idea was really also, let's start and also prepare this group of, like, students, lifelong learners, academics, and also staff to be prepared in case there is a need to build these dialogue opportunities for people.
So which period exactly were you on the semester at sea?
So it was from the beginning of September till end of December.
Which is last year.
2024.
So now. No, just now. So you weren't on it when the 7th October attacks happened.
But that was the experience of semester at sea.
But the ripples of that are still with us today.
Yeah, exactly.
But you had the American election.
Yes.
When you were, that was the biggest story maybe, and as well as the continuing conflict in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Any other major event happened that maybe...
No, but what was also interesting, we were basically traveling from Europe to Africa and then Asia. And so if you think about it, it's also traveling from the colonialists, so who were actually acting colonialism, to countries that were colonized.
Yes.
And so also the power dynamics. And of course, on the ship, you have different people from different countries and also people of different race. And so Ghana was a very strong experience, especially for like African descendants or people identified with the African diaspora in the US, because of course it's linked to the slave trade.
Indeed.
And so there was also this idea of like coming back home, but of course it's not a place your ancestors left voluntary. Mm-hmm. They were taken and enslaved and brought to the US. And so now you're coming back. And on a certain way, you're happy because maybe you're coming back as a PhD professor now. Like you have a PhD and you're teaching, or you're coming back as a student. So it's a good coming back. But at the same, there is this also dark and very painful memory. So
yes.
There was all these dynamics also too.
I find this very fascinating how nowadays, I'll bring this conversation to Malta.
Yes.
And we have our colonial history with the British Empire, right?
But that's also something that people don't know, that Malta was an ex-British colony. Something I continue to mention. Yeah.
Yes, except maybe some people who would have studied World War II or something. But even here in Malta, for example, you get some people still thinking, the British are all like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that, and they did this to Malta, and they've never apologized, and blah, blah, blah. When they're not so aware, because they don't follow what's happening in the UK. How many actual British people, some of whom are actually descendants of people who were colonized, so African, Maltese, whatever, There is a feeling in Britain that there are still people who are traditional white, mm-hmm. old-fashioned British people.
Yeah.
But then there are a lot of British people who are of the belief that, yes, there should be some atonement, or the colonial period is not a great period.
Mm-hmm.
And there are studies being made and university courses and discussions being held. So it's not just a homogenous
yes.
feeling in Britain about its empire, including
yes.
Malta. Just like in Malta, there isn't a homogenous yes. feeling that we were enslaved by the British in the empire. There are plenty of Maltese people who feel that the empire wasn't such a bad thing
yes.
and that Malta did well. So there are these different opinions yes. and different feelings and different families that along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same in America.
Yes.
America isn't just this, you know, you think America, you think Donald Trump, or you think, you know, America isn't just its president. There are various different opinions yeah. and ideas about yeah. America's history, about America's present, and continuous discussions happening.
Yes.
And different kind types of Americans, like you just mentioned, the Americans whose ancestors came from Africa, mm-hmm. and most of them didn't come voluntarily.
Yeah.
But then there are people who are coming from South America voluntarily.
Yes.
They want to go to the States
yeah.
because they still see it as the land of the free or what. So many different
yeah.
levels
yeah, yeah, yeah.
that we have to keep in mind before we make a sweeping statement.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, like, you know, this is what I love, because I always say that I try to bring complexity.
Mm.
But then when you bring complexity, you also have more people get defensive, because we would love to have, like, simple answer,
yes.
simple, like, black and white, like,
yes.
statement, and they're not to see, like, gray zone.
Yes, and to be fair, maybe 100 years ago or 50 years ago, things were a bit simpler,
mm-hmm.
and oh, there yeah. were more homogenous opinions.
Yes.
But there's been a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And different
and a lot of more
population
awareness.
Movements and, mm-hmm. and awareness.
Yes.
So as you say, things aren't black and white anymore, mm-hmm. and so clear.
Yeah.
And that's something that you that
we saw a lot on the ships.
Yeah.
Because,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So Portugal. And what happened in Portugal? What, anything interesting that you can tell us?
I think we had this course, but then we had people that went, like, surfing, people who went to say, like, whale watching, kayaking.
Which town, which city of Portugal did you stop in? Do
we stop in Lisbon?
Lisbon, the
yeah.
capital.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a port city?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually it was beautiful, because the ship really stopped in the city. So you have this beautiful view of Lisbon, and then you just walk
yes.
and you have, like, 5 minutes from the city
yes.
center. And
I hear nice yeah. things about Portugal from Maltese people who have, thanks
the
to low-cost airlines, they go for a weekend break, and some people come back and say, oh, I'd love to live there.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's the very popular place.
Yeah. I lived there, but, like, almost 20 years ago.
You
and
did
it was
there.
Very
of course
different. Yeah, that
did,
was
yes.
my first country where
yes.
I lived. Yeah.
You have
yeah.
nice memories of Portugal.
Yeah. But I think going back now with more awareness, I will probably go to the south of Portugal, not to the north of Portugal.
Why is that?
Because the south is more like Malta. The north is very, like, humid, and it was raining most of my time there. It was 9 months, so it was a long time. Yeah.
So the ship left Portugal?
The ship left Portugal. It went to Morocco. That was very short. We have, like, just 2 days at sea. So there was also all the academics kind of struggling to have, like, their first class done. But then it's already, like, the stop. And when you stop in port, you miss kind of students for 5 days, because we stayed in port between 5 and 7 days.
Mm.
So people can go to, like, field classes, field program, or just travel by themselves, like, and organize activities.
And where in Morocco did you stop?
So we stopped in Casablanca.
Oh, the famous city.
Yeah. But that was a more commercial port, like the free port. So we were not we were close to the city center, but then it was not the nice view we had before in Lisbon.
I see.
But then I traveled with an organized trip organized by Semester at Sea to Fez. In Chefchaouen is a blue city,
uh-huh.
so where maybe some of the people that saw the pictures on Instagram, it's all blue and...
Yes, yeah. Where can people see? They follow you, Viviana Prebazzi,
Or they can Google Chefchaouen and saw the blue city, but yeah,
okay.
they can follow me on Instagram or, mm-hmm. or Facebook or LinkedIn.
Yes.
Yeah, and then from Morocco, we went to Ghana. And then we stop in two different ports, like Tema and Takoradi.
So forgive me, Ghana is on the... West coast of Africa.
Yes.
And
yes.
did you cross the equator before you got to Ghana or after?
After.
After you got...
Yes.
So you haven't crossed the equator yet?
Yeah, yeah.
And Ghana, Accra, is that by the sea?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the capital, right?
Yeah, that's the capital.
And I do know that Ghana and Malta have a relationship.
We
have
yes.
We have an embassy in Ghana. Yes. It's one of the few African countries, as we develop our international presence, that Malta and Ghana have a relationship.
Exactly.
We even have students here at the University of Malta from Ghana.
Yeah, yeah. There was a trade mission, I think,
yes.
a couple of years ago. Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what's Ghana like?
Yeah. It was extremely interesting, like very old, like the traditions, like the religious tradition and even like local and cultural tradition. I met this group of women, like the Queen Mothers. And so they explained to us how like community work and women like can take their
Queen
involved
Mothers?
In, Queen Mothers, it's
As
called.
As part of like the royal families.
Exactly.
The
royal
tribal
family,
royal families.
Exactly, of different villages. And they're mm-hmm. kind of responsible of like some final decision about the community. Uh-huh. And that was extremely, extremely interesting.
And women have this pivotal,
yeah.
important role. They're not sort of held back by the men?
No, exactly. This
oh.
role of keeping together the community.
Okay.
Yeah, that was extremely interesting. And then also, of course, all this like painful history of like the slave trade. And so we visit the castle where actually the slave were like enslaved and kept before sailing. And since like Ghana did it in 2019 because it was kind of the anniversary of the first registered ship that arrived in the US. So they call it the year of return.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of having people coming back, Senegal did it before. And so they have also... Like it was there before, but now it's kind of also promoted more to develop again awareness. Is a door of no return. So that door where actually all the slaves were then embarking the ship to go to the US, and that's very like emotional because you really see this like passage, and you kind of think what could have been like their thoughts or their
yes.
how scared they were, and yeah.
so many of them died on the way,
yes,
because
exactly.
they weren't exactly treated on, they weren't on a cruise liner,
no, exactly.
when they were being taken across the ocean.
Yeah,
yeah, let's hear some music. Let's mm-hmm. take a little break from our chat. And it's a song. I'm going to leave you to choose a bit of music for us to hear
yeah.
in the middle of this program, which is Colin Fitz Yestazi. Colin Fitz asks questions to interesting people. Viviana Prebazzi is my interesting person this week. And what song would you like us to hear?
Say Sail Away by Enya.
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 Okay, the song that goes Sail Away, Sail Away.
Actually, we use it when we left every port, the captain loved to play this song.
Okay. Oh, he would play it
yeah,
on
yeah,
the
yeah,
loudspeakers.
Yeah. yeah, exactly.
So I believe the song is called Orinoco Flow.
Oh, yes.
By
yes,
Enya.
Sorry.
But the refrain is the Sail Away, Sail Away.
Yeah.
That's right. Enya and Orinoco Flow. Orinoco is actually a river, isn't it?
Mm-hmm,
it's a famous river, so there we go. The music chosen by Viviana Premazzi on this program on Campus 103.7.
Let me be.
Beautiful choice of music there, Viviana. Thank you so much. Now, back to your semester at sea, which took place between September and December of 2024. And you were in Ghana, and then from Ghana...
From Ghana, we crossed the equator, and that was also... I told you before, there was also all these like community events organized.
One was
Neptune Day. So the crossing of the equator brings with them a lot of traditions.
Yes.
And so everyone was involved. And we kind of became from Shellback to...
Somebody dresses up as King Neptune, the king of the sea, and pretends to come on board.
And it was someone from the crew, like it was a Greek member of the crew, where I was like Neptune. Yes. And so, yes, and we had also some, like we jump on the pool. And like we had kind of a tattoo with the zero on our arm, and yeah, it was a beautiful day of like celebration.
Is there some special food or drink related to it, or?
No, I don't think, but it was like something with the salt, and then yeah, some kind of rituals and
some rituals. Okay,
and it was very good, yeah, because it was also was the first time I think for us to kind of mix with the students in this like. A funny or like celebration.
Informal way, absolutely.
There's something also that's very peculiar of the ship because you cannot actually escape your students. Like you're always in the same space.
Indeed.
And so you also share like when you go on a trip with them and then this like social activity.
You must become quite close as well. I mean, like a family.
Yeah. And that's also interesting because there is also a program on the ship where actually you can have your extended family. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of the ship mom for 5 students. And they selected me as their mom.
Oh, sweet.
And yeah, exactly. So some other staff, they have their family. And it's a way for the student to connect with other students, maybe, and make new friends, and to connect with, like, the faculty and staff. Yes. And so have someone, if something happened, you cannot call your mother. Maybe you have someone also on the ship that,
The majority of the students, you said, were American on board. And are there big differences between students, say, from California to students from Kentucky or a student from Texas and a student from New York State? There's such huge distances that I would think so. They all speak American or English-American. Some of them with different accents.
Yes.
Did you see big differences?
Yes, absolutely. And it's also, like in my case, it's also how much you were exposed already to any cultural diversity, and it can be that you live in California and you are more exposed to cultural diversity compared to someone from like a state in the Midwest. And I had some student like coming to my class that at the end they were like in my class was also a mix because we had students from Mozambique and a student from Palestine, from Sweden, and then students from different states in the US. And she was like, if I would have taken the same course in my own university in the Midwest, it would be just like an homogeneous group of people. Mm-hmm. While here is much more diverse. And so that's something, of course, also different, like a big city, a rural area, like where you're coming from, your background, your race, your ethnicity. So they're all dimensions that actually,
interesting. Make a lot of difference. And you learn how to sort of deal with and communicate with different people according to how ready they are, maybe, for diversity. Yeah. Some people, you take it slower with them. Others, you know that they're going to accept anything you say, especially in your course.
Yeah, that's also something I have to learn kind of the hard way at the beginning, especially. Mm. Because, of course, like the topic is very, like, there are different sensitivities around the topic. And it's also important to understand who are you that you're saying something, like your own identity that I think I knew and I'm old. I'm also very authentic, and then I know also like the job I do. But of course, I have even more to be careful, be sensitive, and understand like the people that were in front of me. And so maybe sometimes make one more disclaimer, one more trigger warning, one more explain why I was using a certain word. And that at the beginning, probably I considered it, but I could have considered it more.
More. Yeah. Interesting.
At the same time, for me, it was also kind of, again, like I learned the hard way, and also this reflection about the differences between like the US and Europe and how we discuss these topics. And again, how your identity play a part on this. And this is helping me now a lot with the work I'm doing here in Malta or Europe, like what's the kind of job I want to do and how I want to do it, like knowing what's out there.
Yes, it's all experience being gained. Here in Malta, I am told, I read, that the average Maltese student here at the university kind of allows the lecturer, the professor, whoever's teaching, to have that dynamic, the power.
Mm-hmm.
They accept most of what they're told, and they mm-hmm. consider their course as, okay, I've been taught this, I've read the books, so I will produce an assignment that will get me the most marks and make me go forward in my career
mm-hmm.
without questioning too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I believe in other countries, especially, I was curious whether American students on average tend to challenge you more.
Yeah.
Did you experience that?
Yeah. I experienced this. Like, I knew also that this was going to happen. So that was not actually the part that terrified me. And we had a feedback box also, like at the back of the class. And that feedback box of anonymous feedback was always filled with, like, very like precise and very like straight to the point feedback, like, you use that word and you don't have to say that, I could have done this differently, you shouldn't have mentioned this. And this was like for me and other colleagues. What I also thought, and again, I don't want to go too much into also like psychology or psychological dynamics. Mm-hmm. I think there's still also a difference between being female professor and a male professor.
Really?
So like women and men, yes. And also the topics that you are teaching. Intercultural communication is something that is like under the social, like humanities and social sciences. And so people can give less kind of scientific value compared to oceanography. And so I had, in my case, maybe even more people come in and say, oh, you should say this, you should do that, even if not having nothing to do with like my subject, my topic, not having any PhD or any, let's say, certificate in the field. And I think it is something that I kind of use it then in a way to, in one of the last classes that I have, to really explain that actually what I teach, and it's not for me, but it's like, it's based on anthropology and sociology. And I brought my class, I had a small class, and then I was teaching to all the 500 students, because my course was compulsory for all the students on the ship. And so I brought my small class to actually teach like peer education. So you cannot trust me that this is important, but now you have the student that they've been doing this for now, I don't know, 100 and something days. And that was very, I think, very effective for like the other students or the other that were in the audience.
Now, we're going back to the trip itself.
Mm-hmm.
So Ghana,
yeah.
And from Ghana you went to?
South Africa. That became one of my favorite countries.
Ah, yeah. And why is that?
Yeah, I think one, it's beautiful actually coming to certain countries from the sea.
Mm.
And arriving.
That's what they say about Malta and the Grand
Canal. Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Every time I sail, when I sailing outside and inside the Grand Harbour, like, it's beautiful.
It is.
And arriving at Cape Town, like, the nature is beautiful. There is like Table Mountain, and then it was like seals all around, like whales and dolphins, and like, I love marine life. And so also already that was, and then I went to the Kruger National Park, so I did the safari, and then yeah, and Cape Town is also very like interesting and vibrant city. So we just stay a few days, but it's a place where I would like to come back also again, also for all the social dynamics that are very interesting and still present.
Yes, it's recent history.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. And then from South Africa?
And then from South Africa, another of my favorite countries of the voyage, we stop in Mauritius.
Oh, the island.
Yeah, the island.
To the east of Africa.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one colleague of mine made this comment, and he was like, I think that when the ship stopped in Malta in 2022, they had the same pleasant surprise of Mauritius, because also for us was, okay, Mauritius, yes, an island on the voyage, probably beautiful, but yeah, that's it. We had nothing special.
Uh-huh.
And I think probably, yes, because everyone that then, when they come to Malta, is like, oh, there's so much here, and we didn't expect it. And that was for Mauritius, like a lot of cultural diversity, religious diversity, communities living together. And then the sea is beautiful, like the beaches are beautiful.
Yes.
So yes, another place I would like to come back.
It's one of those paradise islands.
Yeah.
But as you say, there's much more to it than
that. Yes.
Yeah. And from Mauritius?
From Mauritius, then we went to India.
And which part of India?
We stopped in Cochin. That is like southwest of India, in Kerala, that actually where like many migrants also, many Indians in Malta, they come from this region.
Oh.
Very different from maybe what, again, the stereotypes that we have about India, crowded city, pollution, and there is a lot of green. It's very relaxed as an environment. But then most of us, and that was also my case, I traveled to Agra and Delhi to see the Taj Mahal and then have also other like experiences there. Like we went to the bird sanctuary, the elephant sanctuaries, so all these places. And the Taj Mahal, of course, it's beautiful.
Of course.
Yeah.
How long did it take to get to like where the Taj Mahal is?
Yeah, I think that we flew there. So it was three hours or something.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Because India's huge.
Did
you get seasick on the voyage at all?
Oh, many times.
Really?
I was kind of constantly on like the medication for seasickness.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah.
Which, like, was it the Atlantic Ocean or the Indian Ocean? Which parts were the most?
It was at the beginning, yes. It was like the English Channel. So we started with actually kind of like seasickness.
I mean, you were there in the sort of autumn months.
Yeah.
So.
And then, the Atlantic. And then,
but then once you cross the equator, you're back in summer.
When you cross the equator, you're going back to spring.
Spring.
So right. South Africa was actually, not cold, but not also so warm, like it was spring. And then the captain after South Africa was like, no, but the Atlantic Ocean is fine. And we have kind of like the rockiest night on the ship. Like it was, the sea was rough. And so, so I was on that medication. I was on the medication for malaria. So there is also a lot that you do for your body. So, but I didn't get sick. So that's also good.
And after India?
After India, we went to Vietnam. That was another very interesting country and surprise for me. We stopped in Ho Chi Minh City. Mm-hmm. And then very vibrant, very, very, it's also like cheap, but you can really see that the economy is like booming. And then from there, I took one tour through the Mekong Delta and the Mekong Delta region. And I actually went on with this boat till Cambodia, but on the boat. So we actually crossed the border on the river.
Ah.
And then, and then in Cambodia, I went to like the capital and then Angkor Wat, where there are these beautiful temples, like everyone is going.
Wow.
And then the Tomb Raider, Angelina Jolie temple, like when...
Okay, oh, Tomb Raider,
Yes.
You hear about these things or see them in the movies or maybe from the Vietnam War. And
that's interesting.
You've been there.
Like, exactly. Wow. The Vietnam War, for example, is something also interesting because we call the Vietnam War, but in Vietnam is the American War.
Of course.
For them, like the students and for the professor for the U.S., like going to the museum, for example, of the American War and see things from a different perspective.
And then once here in Malta, I met a performer from France, but whose parents and whose family came from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said Ho Chi Minh City, she said, no, we call it Saigon.
We didn't call it Saigon.
Again, more different perspectives.
I was surprised also because, I called it Ho Chi Minh City and my friend replied because I met another intercultural trainer there and was like, yes, we meet in Saigon. I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah, because they don't want to accept that, the war was won by one side over another. Incredible. So much complexity in the world, isn't there? Vietnam and Cambodia. And then
Hong Kong, interesting. I went to Disneyland.
So Hong Kong is an island, a Chinese island.
Yeah, it's more than one island. Mm-hmm. There are islands, different islands.
Okay.
And there is Hong Kong Island, but then there are other islands that actually they are the Hong Kong territory. China, but like special.
But has some special privileges, yes.
Exactly.
Because for up till 97, it was part of the British British territory. Yes.
And that was a very also interesting surprise. Very green. And also colder compared to the place where we were before.
But also very like skyscrapers.
So many people, and so many malls. And it was really, and we were there over the weekend. So like Friday, Saturday and Sunday, it was like, oh, what's going on? Like, give me a break. But then if you go to other islands, they can also be more like remote island. There are like fishermen and it's more like relaxed and quiet. And then there is Disneyland. I also didn't know, but then everyone was talking about it. And so I ended up going to Disneyland. Like, you couldn't miss it. And the only difference about the other Disneyland for like everyone who's listening who is an expert of Disneyland is actually that the castle is the theme of the castle is Frozen.
Okay, so, from the film.
From the film.
And then Hong Kong?
And then Hong Kong was our last official port. And then we went to Thailand for disembark. And that was a lot of crying.
And you fly back.
And I flew back,
wherever you need to go and you flew back here.
Yeah.
So it's not like you retrace your steps back
No, it's what they're doing now. Like the spring semester is actually coming back, and they will finish in the Netherlands or Germany. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, as you said, then in Thailand, lots of crying and and it's. We'll stay in touch. We'll write letters. Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
So to conclude, what did you get out of this? What are the lessons you learned, and what are the things you would like to offer Malta and the world from what you experienced in this semester at sea, which, by the way, we urge our listeners to look up, to do some research about it. It's something that maybe even you can participate in if you wish.
Absolutely. And everyone say like it's life-changing experience, lifetime experience. And then when you're living it, maybe you don't realize how much it is. But then, yes, it's an incredible opportunity. Like for me, it was kind of a confirmation of like the beauty of the world and also like how beautiful it is to like travel and discover places, but also discover like different perspectives, like the ship itself. And again, that was something people said at the beginning, like it will become the best port for you. And it became, because like you don't become friends with everyone, like all the 500 people, but for sure you develop some like long, like lifelong relationship, like relationships that you want to keep for like all your life now. They become part of your family.
And with regards to your mission in life, you know, you were an intercultural
trainer.
Did you think you made the difference?
I always hope.
Yeah.
And yeah, like from the feedback of some students and some colleagues, I think yes. And in any case, like I learned a lot also. And it was also like questioning myself, even like after the voyage, I was like, okay, I think I did everything wrong. I have to change everything. And then it's also kind of reflecting and questioning yourself that you grow. And so there is also like confirmation that the work that you are doing is actually good. And so you want to keep, but maybe you're doing it in a different way.
Let's hear some music, just a little bit of a few seconds break before we conclude this edition of Colin Fitz. Eustace Colin Fitz asks questions to interesting people. I have the last couple of questions to ask to my guest, Viviana Prebazzi.
There's a place I go to when no one knows me. It's not lonely. It's a necessary thing. It's a place I made up. Find out what I made up. The nights I've stayed up. Counting stars and fighting sleep. Let it wash over me. I'm ready to lose my feet. Take me off to the place where one reviews life's mystery. Steady on down the line, lose every sense of time. Take it all in and wake up, that's my part of me. Day to day I'm blind to see and find how far to go. Everybody got their reason, everybody got their way. We're just catching and releasing what builds up throughout the day. It gets into your body, it flows right through your blood. We can tell each other secrets and remember how to love. Da 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 da. Mystery. Steady on down the line, lose every sense of time. Take it all in and wake up, that small part of me. Day to day I'm blind to see and find how far to go. Everybody got the reason, everybody got the way. We're just catching and releasing what builds up throughout the day. It gets into your body, flows right through your blood. Can tell each other secrets and remember how to love.
Just now we heard this a song by Matt Simmons, Catch and Release. Was it a popular song on your trip that you
Yeah,
told us
it
about?
Was a song that for like some of us as colleagues like remind us now semester at sea. Yeah.
Very good. Now, back in Malta, your posts on Instagram and Facebook keep coming up, your activities here in Malta, always very interesting, and they're always very international. It's the kind of life you lead, it's your passion, it's what you do, what you teach, it's the company you have as well, Viviana Premazzi. You posted something recently about an Erasmus project, something called Alright.
Exactly.
Very briefly, to conclude the program, tell us a little bit about this, and maybe some of our listeners here in Malta would be interested in joining up.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's another project I'm very passionate about. So it's an Erasmus Plus project, so it was funded by the European Union. We are the lead leader of this kind of partnership, and then we have an Italian partner that's an NGO called ACRA and a tour agency called Viaggi Solidali. So they do sustainable tourism, and 15 years ago they started in Italy, but now it is an European network, another project called Migrantour. The idea is that migrants and foreigners become intercultural companions, so people that take you to some walks, like intercultural walks, telling you about their story of migration, but also showing you some places through their eyes and helping you to meet people that maybe as a locals or even as another foreigner, you will never meet. So maybe you stop in a shop run by an Indian and you meet this Indian guy who's been living in Malta for 5 years, and you also learn the story. Or you go on and you meet someone from, and this is one of the stops in our tour, like Slovenia, who started like Cafe Connect and the expatriate of Malta to, again, talk about the experiences of people in Malta. So our walk, and now we're finalizing, we finalized the first walk, and now we're offering them for free till the end of the project. They actually start in Zira, when there is a mural, the murals that was.
So these are regular events.
Now it's not very regular. Like we had the first one last week.
We had the first one last week.
And then we will have on the 8th of February and the 22nd of February, and then they will become more regular. And so everyone, like people can follow us on social media.
What do they GMD, have to find?
GMD Global Mindset Development.
Okay.
And yeah, the project is called Alright, but it is like managed by us.
Alright, so, spelt in the Maltese way.
Yes, yeah,
so
exactly.
So Orrajt.
Yes.
Orrajt.
That's right. Actually an acronym for like on the road, alternative tracks to develop alternative narratives. But yes, so there are intercultural walks, and the idea is, again, so we are starting in Zira and then we walk till Emsida, knowing places, people, and listening to story about like migration, like challenges, but also opportunities, why all these people at the end can call Malta their home. And it's also a way to connect like locals and foreigners. Yes. And it was beautiful. Like we did our first walk, and it was great. And for the work I do, we will work with schools, we will work with the university, but we'll also use it as a team building for companies.
Ah.
So companies, they have a multicultural team. They walk, and while walking also, they can talk with each other.
Yes.
And maybe in some stop, there's something that make them reflect about something that maybe it happened at work. And so we will use it also in this way for like learning.
And walking is healthy.
Exactly.
And you're walking, by the sea.
Yeah.
And did I see that there's a community called Expats Community, a Facebook page? Was that involved as well?
Yeah, because Barbara, who is the founder of Cafe Connect, that is a van cafe. I don't know if you've ever been there. But
I haven't been, but I know that it's based in,
in the
Tashbish Garden.
Yes.
Yes.
So she's also the one who started this blog that then is a Facebook page that's called The Expatriate of Malta, where she tells story of people that decided to make Malta their home. And so her idea was like, if you go on the Facebook page, the Facebook group, The Expat Malta, sometimes there are a lot of complaining.
Yes.
Well, she wanted to portray some like positive story, like success story, but also like explain the challenges that people had before coming to Malta and why now they found Malta a home.
Okay. That's very, very interesting, and it's everything that you do, everything you're involved in is, when all is said and done, it's to try and bring people together.
Yes.
And help us understand each other better, so I will always support you in that.
Thank you,
Viviana.
Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure inviting you and having you here on my programs on Campus 103.7. We recorded this program in January 2025, just in case you're listening in from the website as a podcast. And as Viviana said, if you want more information about these walks, you just have to go to social media and find
Global Mindset Development.
Viviana, it's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Same for me. Thank you so much for having me.
This has been Colin Fitz Yistatsi. Colin Fitz asks, in brackets, interesting questions to interesting people. Thank you.